Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGodsWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of the Mind page,
ministries all on the internet.
Now, that we might be in right relationship with you, that we might be in right fellowship with you, that we may hear your word, Father. And Father, may we be doers of the word and not just hearers. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give ourselves over unto you, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your people need to hear from you, Father. Speak, Lord, for we're not interested in hearing from a preacher, but we want to hear from God. Speak, Lord, for your people's hearts are aching, Father. Speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Bethlehem. Somebody almost missed it. Let's do it again. Bethlehem. Amen. That is our theme for 2012. Last year we wanted to know him. This year, because we know him, we want to make him known. Amen. And we picked up that theme for this month as we're talking about all month about witnessing. About witnessing. The preacher, Pastor Scott, on New Year's night shared a text that's very appropriate for the course that God wants us to take. Acts chapter 5, verse 20 says, go, stand, and speak. Go, stand, and speak. And if we want to make him known within 2012, we've got to go, and we've got to stand, and we've got to speak. Amen. But I want you to know that as you go and as you stand and as you speak, you do not stand alone. For God has put his Holy Spirit power on the inside of you, and that's his whole job, is to make him known. And if you depend upon the power that God gives each Christian, you can make him known. This morning we're going to talk about the Spirit witness. The Spirit witness. And we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. It's two slides. Will you please stand in reverence to the Word of God? Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Let's read this out loud together on three. One, two, three. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord, and I want you to meditate on that text all throughout this week. A powerful text as we talk about Spirit witness, a spirit witness. And the spirit witness, that which is commendable, the spirit witness to the cripple, and the spirit witness to the captives. We want you to know today that Christians should witness by the power of the Spirit of God. Christians should witness by the power of the Spirit of God. Once again, this is a tremendous text. It's a wonderful text for you to reflect on. As God says to the man of God and gave him, anointed him to proclaim the good news to the poor, gave him the power to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor, and a day of the vengeance of God, to comfort those who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them the crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That in it all and through it all, God wants to call you, even though you have to go through times of sorrow and of suffering, of captivity, of ashes, of sadness. He wants to make you what he calls the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to be displayed for his splendor. Oh, but you couldn't be that mighty oak of righteousness without the power of the Spirit of God. You can't make it through such a time as this without the power of the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you. He wants to work together all of these things that cause you sorrow and heartache and despair. He wants to work them all together for his good. Because whether you realize it or not, you are called according to his purpose. And because you're called according to his purpose, many, many times we have to deal with the ash in life. Many times we have to deal with what the fire left behind. And many times people think that, well, that ashes are not worth anything. But ash in the hand of God can be made beauty. All right. And God says that he can take the ashes of your life that you're going through right now, that heartache, that pain, that sorrow, that suffering, that grief, that despair, and he can give you a crown. And he can give you a crown. Beauty for ashes. What a wonderfully marvelous text. Which lets us know that we can never give up hope. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful text. Oh, because many of us would want to leave the ash behind. Yeah. Oh, but God says that he can take these ashes of your tribulation, the ashes of your sorrow, the ashes of everything that you're going through, and make beauty. What a wonderful, wonderful text, especially if you're going through a hard time. I would challenge you to memorize the first three chapters of this text. So that when the devil tries to tell you about your grief, when the devil tries to tell you about ashes, when the devil tries to tell you about despair, that you will be able to tell him the truth about what God can and will do. Hello, somebody. This morning, we're going to share on point number one as we talk about the witness, the commendable. witness the commendable. Oh, it says in the text that the Spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to proclaim good news. He has anointed me to proclaim good news. And somebody here, throughout all last week, all you've been hearing about was bad news. Somebody died. Somebody was in a car accident. Somebody's getting a divorce. Somebody lost their job. And all you heard all of this last week is bad news. But God has sent you here this morning to let you know some good news this morning. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, God has some good news for you. Well, first of all, I want to share that good news to those who do not know Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus, came on this earth. Was born of a virgin. He came on this earth, lived a perfect life, 33 years. The last 3 years, he was doing what we hear in the text. He caused the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk. He cured the leper. He caused the deaf to hear. He raised the dead. And he did all of that so that he could share the real good news. He did all of that so to prove that he was the Messiah, God's only Son. And he didn't just say it in word, but he said it in deeds. And indeed, this man was God's only Son. And that's why you're here today. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God has sent me here today to give you good news, to let you know that he's still seated on the throne, to let you know that he still has power to open blind eyes. He still has power to cause the lame to walk. He still has power to heal leprosy or any incurable disease. He still has power to open the deaf ears. He still has power to cause the dead to rise again. And if you're here today, if you can hear this good news and have faith, then you can leave here today with a mustard seed of faith and leave this place and begin to speak to your mountains and say, mountains, be moved in Jesus' name, because I mustered up on the word of God, and God told me that he is more powerful than the circumstances that I'm facing today. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you have a God who's able in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He displayed that power. But he had to do the last thing. The good news. Good news means, or gospel means, good news. And after he did all of that, he had to die. And he died for your sins and my sins. Talking to the unsaved right now, those who don't have a personal relationship with God, he died for you. He stayed dead. But the Bible says that he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. That same power he put down, he picked it back up again, and he still has that same power again to cause the blind to see. Is there anybody here blinded by the circumstance, blinded by the tribulation? Is there anybody here that's been lame? Last week you walked up in here and you were able to walk, but by the end of the week you couldn't walk. You fell down, but you haven't got up again. You are lame, but God has called me to tell you this good news. He still has the power over that which can cripple you. He still has the power over that can blind you. He still has the power over that can heal a body that cannot be healed. It was leprosy back in that day, but in our day it's his age, he still has the power to heal that which is unhealable, because he is our God. He is almighty. He is I am that I am. I can open up all your deaf ears. He's trying to speak to you this morning. For the devil closed your ears last week and you couldn't hear from God. Oh, but now in Jesus' name, he's opening up your ears so that you can hear the voice of the living God crying out to you in the middle of your midnight, in the middle of your heartaches, in the middle of your pains. Oh, God is opening up your ear. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Oh, we lose cell reception, and we ask all those who were trying to speak to, we say, can you hear me now? 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 You change your steps and try to get in a place where you can get a signal, but guess what? You're in the right place this month to get a signal, and God says with a loud voice, can you hear me now? I'm still your God. I'm still able. I still can do it. In Jesus' name, say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, he still can do it. In Jesus' name. And that's good news for me. That's good news for me. That's good news for me. Oh, tap on your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, he still can do it. Slap him upside the head. No, slap him, don't slap him. Witness the commendable our God is able. And if you're here today and don't know him, it's time for God to open up your ears so that you can hear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We need to witness the commendable. I'm tired of all the bad news that I get on television. Bad news, bad news. It's all bad news. But God has sent us here today. Oh, for that person that's not saved, the gospel, good news, God loves you. He loves you regardless of your past. You may have a notorious past. Oh, but God says, that's why Jesus died for you. He died for you, not only for what you've done in your past, but what you will do in your future. He died on that cross that day for everything that you have done. Oh, and the only thing that you can do for him is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, if you don't know him, oh, you can know him now. Accept him in your heart. In Jesus' name. And this is good news. This is gospel. Good news. I'm so glad today that I can witness the commendable, and you need to leave this place witnessing the commendable, because the reason that Jesus did miracles was to prove that he was who he said he is. And I still believe today that if you pray for somebody that's not saved, then God can show himself. He'll show up in their lives and do a miracle and show up and show out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Are you willing to witness the commendable? You got to witness the commendable. You also have to witness, oh, to the cripple. He said, preacher, oh, where you get crippled from? I'm not talking about a physical cripple. I'm talking about those who have a broken heart. The text says that he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Oh, many of you sit here today and you look like you're normal. to look like all is well. For the truth of the matter is, you entered into this place with a broken heart. There's all kinds of things that can break your heart. Oh, that child that never knew his mother, that child that never knew his daddy. Oh, it's a child that has a broken heart. Oh, that person who's here today, and you were asked and witnessed to it, and you wanted to get married, but they broke off the marriage. And when they broke off the marriage, it gave you a broken heart. There's many people who have a broken heart. As you look in society, modern day popular culture, if you look at the most famous songs that were sung last year, oh, you can listen to a singer by the name of Adele, and she has two songs, really. Her whole album was written because she broke up with her boyfriend, and she broke up with her boyfriend, and she wrote some songs that many of you know. Oh, in this house and in this place, oh, you know that song, Someone Like You, where she wrote about hearing about that boyfriend she loved so much. She was waiting for him to turn his life around and come back to him, come back to her, but he never did. He went on with his life and asked somebody else to marry, and she heard about it, and she wrote a song about it. It's another song about rolling in the deep. If you look it up on Facebook, it has over 209 million plays, because there are people in our world who have broken hearts. They've had their hearts broken by their wives, by their husbands, by their boyfriends, by their children. They've had their hearts broken by people in the church. We call that church hurt. And that hurt is one of the hardest hurts to overcome. You have a broken heart. But God has sent me here this morning to let you know that he heard your sorrow. He heard your crying. He heard your tears. He heard how you feel forsaken. He hears about how you feel like you'll never find the one to love. And you have a broken heart. But God says this morning that he wants to bind up your broken heart. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God wants to bind up your broken heart in Jesus' name. You see, you'll never be able to live your life if you stay broken. You'll say that little 6-year-old girl looking for a daddy. If you don't allow God to heal your broken heart, you'll stay in your past, mourning over somebody else that's gone on with their life, and you're left behind 26 years old with a broken heart. And if God tried to send you somebody to love, you can't love because you're broken. Your heart is broken, and as a result, you feel that your whole world is broken. And there are women and men at the sound of my voice who think that there's nothing good that's going on with the opposite sex. They ain't nothing but dogs. They ain't nothing but hogs. Well, you will attract what you feel. And because you have a broken heart, you'll never have the love that God wants you to have, because you're broken. But God has sent me here this morning. And he said, he's got the power to mend your broken heart. It may not be love. It may be mourning over the death of a loved one. And many people get stuck, and they're mad at God, and have a broken heart over the one that they love. But God says this morning, you've got to get over that. You've got to get under that. You've got to get around it. And he's come this morning to bind up your broken heart. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God wants to bind up your broken heart in Jesus' name. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. And God is getting a little closer now. God wants to heal your broken heart. God, oh, not only wants to heal you, but he wants to fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit that can enable you to get to such a time as this. Is there anybody here ready for healing in their heart? Give God a hand clap of praise if you're ready for God to heal your broken heart. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Oh, we long for one day. Oh, and it's just a great getting up morning. When Revelation 21:4 says that he will wipe every tear from your eyes, and there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no pain. The old order of things have passed away. In this life, your heart will be broken. You're going to lose someone you love, or someone you love is going to change on you. Hello, somebody. But God says, don't depend on those that you love. Depend upon me. I can heal your broken heart this morning. I can wipe away every tear from your eyes. Oh, I can help you to get over your mourning and over your pain. But you've got to witness to the cripple. Interestingly enough is that if we are crippled ourselves, we can't witness.
Right,
say that.
That's good.
Let me say that. If we are crippled ourselves, we can't witness. Because a broken-hearted person won't witness. All they can do is barely make it. Every day, waking up to depression and sorrow. What good news can you share? Hello, somebody. And that's why it's important that healing take place with those who are here at the household of the Lord first. And if you're here today with a broken heart, allow God to heal you so that he can use you, so that you can leave this place being anointed to preach or to witness the commendable. Being anointed to witness to the cripple. And also being anointed to witness to the captive. He says, again in verse 1, and to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoner. Once again, if you are not free today, how can you witness? If you're captive today, how can you witness? And this really has a lot to do with the sanctification process that God wants to work and move in the life of his people, that they may become better witnesses. Because there's some at the sound of my voice, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, but you're still captive. You're captive to prescription drugs. You're captive to other kind of drugs and alcohol and gambling and all kinds of, as we talked about in the Sunday school, all kinds of sexual immorality and fornication. You're captive to it. And God wants to liberate you because, if you're not liberated, then you can't share with others. You won't even be able to witness. If you're doing the same things that they're doing, how can you witness? If you're having sex outside of marriage as a Christian single person, how can you witness to somebody who does not know the Lord and they know that you're doing just like they're doing? How can you witness? How can you witness to somebody who's has a problem with smoking blunts and other kinds of methamphetamines? How can you witness when you haven't been set free? How can you witness at the casino when you're captive to that all at the casino and you're just captive and you're trying to walk away, but you're captive to it. You're spending all of your money and you're captive to it. How can you witness when you are captive yourself to it? And this morning and really this year, God wants to begin to set the captives free, to start right here in his sanctuary those who are captive to that stuff that you don't have any control over, that stuff that makes you do what you don't want to do. You know you want to be delivered. You know you want to be set free. You know it. Oh, you know it. And God knows. But why not allow him to work in your life this morning? Why don't you allow him to set you free? You are a captive, but God says, he who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Is there anybody here who's free indeed? Well, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, nothing should be able to capture you but Jesus Christ himself. In Jesus' name, if you're here today and you're captive to it, it's time for you to allow God to set you free. It's time for you to make this resolution. Really, it's not on you, it's on God. Say, God, I want to be set free. God, I want to be delivered. God, I want to overcome. God, I want to be set free so that I can go back and tell others that God is able to set you free. And there's some folk that's been set free, but you won't tell nobody. You have a testimony about how God has set you free from the street, set you free from drugs, alcohol, and all that. But you up in here trying to look all lily holy, and you don't want nobody to know the truth. But your truth could be a truth that could help set somebody else free in Jesus' name. Your truth could be a truth to tell somebody about a God who's able to set you free in Jesus' name. Don't forget, Christian man and woman of God that's been living for the Lord for so long, about how God has set you free. Don't forget your past, because God wants to use that past to reach out to others who are in a past right now and just don't know it, or you miss it. You're in a past right now, because what is about to happen, God is about to set you free. Those drugs, those alcohol, that gambling, that fornication is about to be in your past in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, it's in your past in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, it's in your past in in Jesus' name, you're about to be loose. You're about to be set free. You're about to enter into an intimate personal relationship with God. And again, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Is there anybody here ready to shout right now for the victory? Anybody here ready to shout right now for your deliverance in Jesus' name? Give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. I need to shout right now. I've heard the good news, and I walked up in here poor and realized that now I'm rich. Oh, for God proclaimed freedom for me. I was a prisoner, but now I'm being set free. I walked up in here and I couldn't see, but now I have sight. I have been released from my oppressed mind, from my oppressed heart. Oh, I've been released this morning. I've been set free. I've heard some commendable news today. I've heard about how God can set me free. I heard what the world couldn't tell me. I heard what only God could tell me. I heard the good news. And now, because I've heard the good news, and I can get my life right, I can give my life to Jesus Christ, that I may be set free. I said that I may be set free. Is there anybody here that wants to be set free? Is there anybody here that wants to be delivered? Is there anybody here that wants to be encouraged? Is there anybody here that heard the voice of the Lord? Are you ready to get up? Are you ready to make a decision to change your life forever? In Jesus' name, somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here. I said, somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here. I said, somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here. I've heard the good news, and that good news has set me free. I've heard the good news, and now I can leave this place not limping, but walking straight up, not crippled, not blind, not deaf, but I can hear what God says. And because I heard, my life will never be the same. I said my life will never be the same. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, your life will never be the same. In Jesus' name, I said, touch your neighbor, shake him a little bit, and say, your life, your life, your life, your life, your life, your life will never be the same. In Jesus' name, somebody up in here ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. Somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here. I came in sad, I came in mad, but now I'm glad. I'm doing the daily right now because I'm happy. I'm doing the daily right now because I'm happy. The devil thought he killed me. The devil thought I'd give up. The devil thought, but God gave me some good news this morning. He gave me some good news. He's still on the throne. 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 The angels are still praising his holy name. The angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is. And somebody shout right now. I said, somebody ought to shout right now for your victory. Somebody ought to shout right now. Oh, somebody, somebody shout right now for the victory.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today, and I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home, and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, If God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give 25, 50, 10, 100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.